Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Art.
Tonight, Cindy Baldwin will be with us for the Stitch Hour, and that is the show that 2 or 3 weeks ago when YouTube lost its stuff that we did not do. So we'll be doing that. So we'll be looking at some of Cindy's work and have some Gay Ann Rogers giveaways. So join us for that, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. And Sunday, oh, that was fun. Sunday is Jen Goodwin.
That was a fabulous, fun podcast to record.
Yes, Beth joined me for that. Jen Goodwin from England, Blackwork. Oh, that was fun. So don't miss that. Do not miss that. That is a good one. Learning about Blackwork from Jen and hearing about the mill that she works in and all the other artists there and her book. She has a new Blackwork book that you want to get. If you're at all interested in Blackwork, it is an excellent book to latch onto. Just out here in the last few weeks. So, matter of fact, she just got her, when we recorded the other day, she just got her shipment in and was packaging them up to go out for the pre-orders. So it's fresh off the deal. But
yes,
Sunday, join us for that. Jen Goodwin, beautiful black work. Holy smokes. We get to, what is that? Reverse
black.
Yeah. Reverse black work,
which is not reversible black work, which is what I originally thought it was, but it's reverse black work.
Yep.
Stunning.
Yeah. Yeah. So be sure to listen Sunday. That's a good one. And I just offer, once again, I say that, and people are really doing that. These podcasts, which are audio only, the best way is to get a podcast app, one built into your iPhone, and Stitcher is the one that most people use on Android phones. Just get that and subscribe to Fiber Talk, and then you get the podcast automatically, and they download to your device, and then you can listen to them anywhere, and you don't have to stream them. You don't have to be connected. That is absolutely the easiest way, and you have an option to save them if you want to listen again. And that's what these are designed for. These are true podcasts. They're designed to be listened to on devices, phones, tablets, whatever. You can go to the website and listen, and you can certainly go to YouTube and listen on the FlossTube channel there. But the easiest way and the most convenient and most flexible is to do them through an app. And that's where the vast majority of our audience is at. You know, if you look at the numbers on YouTube, how many people listen to a show, you know, it's just a few hundred most of the time. Sometimes we get 1,000, depends on the topic. But the vast majority, 25 to 30,000 people every show listen. That's the way to do it. So give that a try. You'll like it better. I guarantee you. Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Actually, I know how to do that now.
What's that?
I now know how to do that. So, yeah, It is nice to do it on that.
Yeah, it just makes it convenient. And then, you know, if you're out, like for you, you're out for a run, you can just plug in and go and listen.
Right.
Or if you're out in the garden, you can listen. You don't need a connection to the internet. Just do it. Yeah.
Right.
Makes it nice. A lot of people listen in the car, save up a bunch of them, go on a trip, listen to them. Drive your husband nuts.
That's right. Perfect.
Yeah, it's a 1-2 punch.
Turn that off.
How many of those do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is there? There's 300. We're coming up. Won't be too many more months. We'll have 400 shows. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Because this is 175, and we're in the 180s. No, 190s with the Sunday shows. So, yeah. Yep. A lot of them.
Lots of listening pleasure.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of people from all over the world. It's pretty cool. It's been fun. All right. Now, the big thing for us today is we've made major strides with our Spring Hill Stitch Along, the Spring Hill design by Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. That is starting on January 1. So join us for that. If you have never done a Spring Hill or a Rosewood Manor Karen Kluba design, or if you've done them and have not done the Spring Hill, save some of your Christmas money and join us starting January 1 for the stitch along for the Spring Hill design. This is just a gorgeous design and the first in a series that will be each of the seasons. So let's see. So we'll have a live show at 2 o'clock on the 1st. So New Year's Day, we're going to have a live show, 2 o'clock. So while everybody else is watching football and you're bored out of your mind, we'll give you an hour break there. Yep. I'll have football on in the background, but...
yeah, and my family's going to be comatose from cinnamon rolls, so they should be fine. So.
There we go. They'll be quiet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and now this stitch along sponsored by Needle in a Haystack. Kathy Ray, Needle in a Haystack, is sponsoring this stitch along. And so she's going to be your source for kits. And we're doing, I think this is cool. Now, when Karen Kluba did the design, she did it with Sullivan's Threads. So the whole design is Sullivan's Threads, and she also has a conversion for DMC in the chart. And so she did it on 32-count antique ivory linen with Sullivan's Threads. Now, Kathy at Needle and Haystack will have those kits. So you'll be able to get the Sullivan thread and linen as a kit from Kathy along with the chart. But we're doing something different with this one. So each of us, Jennifer, Beth, and I, are doing the same design with different linen and different threads. I think this is cool.
It's fun because then we can see, because it will look a little bit different depending on the threads you use and the fabric you use, but it gives you different, you can see it then. You can see what happens when you change the ground cloth, when you change the threads you use. It's going to be exciting.
Yep. So Jennifer is going to do it on 37-count Russian tea cake. All of our linens are an off-white cream in that range. And then Jennifer is going to use the DMC threads. So she's going to do 37-count with DMC threads. And then you're the show off of the bunch.
Sorry. 45 count with 103.
Yes.
Voile d'Ojai. Varissois. Isn't that the name of the Varissois? 103.
Yes.
And the colors, Kathy has sent us an image, a photo of them. And they, those colors on, it's on Florence is the name of the fabric. They are gorgeous. They're just gorgeous on that.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to it.
They are. When I saw those, it was like, oh, I want to do that. But I'm sticking my gun. Yeah, so Kathy's putting these together now on the website page for this show, and I'll put them in the floss tube video, which is just the still photos, and then I'll also put them on Instagram, so you'll be able to see each of the three combinations. So Jennifer's doing a DMC, Beth is doing 100/3 on 45 count, Jennifer's on 37 count. And then I'm doing Soie d'Alger and NPI silks. There's just two skeins, two colors of NPI silks. The rest are all Soie d'Alger on 40 count, Newcastle. So we have 37, 40, and 45 count are the three combinations. And it'll be set up so you can call Kathy or contact her and just say, I want Gary's kit, or I want Beth's kit, or I want Jennifer's kit. So you can do that, or you can get the Sullivan kit if you want that, or you can do your own thing. I mean, Kathy will help you out if you have another way to do it. But basically four different kit combinations for this one, each of us doing it different. And yeah, I think it's going to be great fun to see the colors, because each one, the colors are just brilliant, vibrant. Of course, that's Karen.
That's Karen, right?
Yeah, she has a clue about those things.
Yeah, her color combinations are always gorgeous.
Yep. So you'll be able to do that. So Kathy is getting that together. The only thing we don't have is the price. Kathy has been working hard here in these last few days to get these together, get the colors specified, and so she got all that done. So we'll have pricing. You'll be able to contact Kathy at Needle in a Haystack needlestack.com and order up. So you'll want to order your kits as soon as you can. And this is Wednesday. I would expect Thursday, Friday, she'll have the pricing figured out. So there's not going to be a long delay. We're trying to get this going so you can get your kits ordered. And she has supplies in-house. So you should be able to order and plenty of time to have them for the January 1 start. So contact her and you can get any of those three. And then she'll have a page that will show the colors too. So you'll be able to decide what you want to do. But I think it's fun because not only is it three different ways of doing it, but it also is three price points. And I don't know what the price points are going to be, but DMC obviously is going to be less expensive than the two silk combinations. But right. You know, so that'll help people too in deciding what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I'm just so looking forward to starting this. I'm like, okay, I know I have scroll bars somewhere in the house that should be the right size. So I need to go dig those out. I'm just already planning in my head about what I need to grab to start this project.
Yep. Yep. Same here. Same here. Actually, I'm scrambling on Hannah Longstreth. Actually, I'm not scrambling. I'm really cooking along here. But I'm kind of eyeing maybe having that done by the end of the year. I think I got a shot. I'm a motif away from being halfway done. And, so if I can get it, so that's going to be my extra goal is to get that done and off the scroll bars so I can put Spring Hill on it. So,
that's a good plan.
Yeah. And I was looking at it before we started to record this. I was looking at the Spring Hill design. And Karen Kluba's designs, just in general, she does big designs. I mean, she doesn't deny that for a second. She does big designs. But this one in particular, when you see it, and we'll have pictures on all the things that go with this thing. We'll have a picture of the thing. You can do the top half. It's designed that you can have a beautiful piece just doing the top half. A really beautiful piece. Yeah. So if you say, I don't want to do something that big, just do the top half. Because it literally is cut off. There's a band at the bottom with a line of stitching underneath it that defines the bottom. So you would have a very nice horizontal piece. Very attractive. All the colors that she used, and only have to do half the size of this thing. So if that's something that slows you down is the size of it, then take a look at that.
Right. And if you're not doing the bottom half, that's the hill, which is solid stitching, right?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, that's a big chunk of solid stitching. Yeah.
So that would save you a ton of time. If it's like, you know, I don't want to commit to anything that big. Then if you just did the top, you'd have a really, again, a lovely piece, and you wouldn't have all that solid stitching.
Right. But you know, but that's interesting. Solid stitching. Cause you look at that and you go, wow, that's a ton. Cause that is, that is a big expanse of solid stitching, but is it really? Yeah, there's a lot more stitches because there's no open space, but it's solid stitching, so you can just go.
Right.
Sometimes I think that's not a horrible thing.
I did a Christmas stocking a couple of years ago, and it had a blue sky. It was solid, and I found it very relaxing. I would put on a CD, I'd listen to a tape, and I'd say, I'm going to stitch for an hour on this, and you just kind of went, and you got an hour done. You say, okay, I've done an hour of sky, I can move to something else. And that's probably what I'll do with the hill. I'll probably say, okay, I'm going to work on this for an hour. Okay, I've done an hour's worth of work, I can put it down for a little bit and I can work on something else.
Yep. Yeah, you just load up a bunch of needles with the color you're going to do and go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
So I never look at those solid stitched areas as terrible things. Some people freak out and go, oh, that's so much stitching. But yeah, same reason for me. Yeah, just sit down, just go.
Yeah, it's just kind of it's nice. To me, it's relaxing. You know, it's a nice relaxing area
Yeah.
when you have solid.
Yeah. You're not checking the chart. You're not counting. You just go.
No,
Yeah.
you just go.
So, all right. So that's coming up now. Kathy will have that a page for that. She said she was going to put a page together, and you'll be able to order. And I think she's not indicated she's lacking anything in terms of threads or linen. So you should be able to order and get it shipped to you right away, and be ready to start with us on the 1st of January.
Excellent. Oh, new project.
Yep. And then, because
Always.
now you're the highest count at 45. So what did you say that design size was?
Okay, I plugged it in. It's 8¾ by 11½.
That's a nice size.
That's a beautiful size.
Yeah.
It's not huge. It's a nice size to frame up. The question people have is, you know, can you see that 45? And last year, I think sometime, Kathy at Needle in a Haystack offered something she called silk samplings, and it had three different counts of linen in it. And I don't think they're all the same, but mine had 40, 46, 50, 55, and then 53, 63. And then it had the 100/3 and the soie sur fine. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and all I did is did a little test swatch on each of those pieces of linen, because I thought, ooh, if I'm going to do 45, I better make sure I can see this. I'm getting up in age, you know, but you know, it did. I loved how it looked with 103 on the linen I had. I could see it. It stitched up beautifully. I thought, okay, not a problem. When I moved up to the 5363, I thought, there's no way I can see this. I'd need better magnification, another set of glasses on my nose, something to see this. And it was also fun because it enabled me to see like the 103 onto 5363 was too fat.
Yeah.
I liked the thinner thread, the surfine on there. So it was kind of fun to play with this sampling of silks and linen. So if you're not sure, again, I think that's right on her home page. She has a little link and you can see she has two different kinds, and they're nice pieces of linen, and you get two spools of thread and needles and a needle threader. It's a great buy.
Yeah, because Beth did a little stitching on all three of them, and I'll put the pictures in on the page for this podcast so you can see them. But it's a cool little package that Kathy put together because it allows you to test different threads on different ground cloth thread counts and see what the coverage is. Because that's always the question people have. Well, how many strands do I use on this thread count of linen or whatever your ground cloth is to get the coverage? And then of course people will say, well, it depends on what you want for coverage. And then it's always go test it. Well, this is a kit that allows you to test it and see whether it's, like you said, the thread is just too fat. It's too thick and it bunches up, and it's a because you can get on too fine a count with linen and the fat thread, and that you it's hard to stitch.
And
So
it is a matter of personal preference. Some people really like their stitches to really stick out, but I know that this would drive me crazy if I were stitching a whole bunch on these finer linens with the 103. And 103 is like a little bit thicker than a sewing thread. It's not like it's a fat it's a fat piece of thread. So, and the surfine is more like a sewing thread. So it really is a fine thread, and it's beautiful for stitching over one. If I had to do a lot of stitching over one, I think I'd have to get myself more of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a good way. And then because you everybody's different. Some people, they like it plump. They like it high on their linen. And then other people are like, no. So it's a good way to experiment on
Right.
that.
Yeah, some
And
people like to see the X, like to actually see the X and have ground cloth peeking through. Some people prefer that look, and you can have it however you want it. And that's where the testing and the what if comes in. You know, if I try this on this, how does it look? Do I like it or not? And yeah, it's everybody has their preference. And this is just really cool. And when you did up the little samples, it's really illustrative of the differences that you get and the look you get. And so you can just test a little bit. Yep.
And she did give a nice big piece of linen for each of these. There are 9 by 9 little squares. They are big enough to stitch a small motif on if you decided, well, yeah, I really like this linen. I don't just want it sitting in my stash. You definitely stitch something on it. I mean, it's a big enough piece to do something with. It's not just like a 2-inch square, which is what I actually thought she was going to send up.
Yeah, a
Send
little patch.
right, just enough to try. But this is fabulous. It's enough to actually stitch something on.
Now,
And
what does she call those?
she calls them silk samplings, and there's package one and package two. And the one I used was package one because I think the other one is lower count linen. So you've got like, I think maybe 32, 36, and 40 in that pack. And then different sizes of silks because you use a heavier silk then with the lower count linen.
Right. So between the two of them, then you get the full range then.
And you could really see what do I like.
So it's really truly a tool. If you think about it, it's truly a tool if you buy both of those that you can use for every project.
And it's nice to know because, I was really curious. Could I stitch on something that's 50, 55, or the 53, 63? The 50 5363 was a little too fine for me. If I decided I wanted to do something that fine, I really would have to consider changing magnification on my glasses. I'd have to go up a strength on what I use for magnification. I would definitely be making sure this was really tight in a frame so I could really see the threads, getting it a good tension on my where I don't necessarily need it for 40 count or and I don't always pull as tight as maybe you do
Yeah.
because I can see it and I don't like to have my that much tension on my linen.
Yeah.
But the 50 55, which was the Kingston linen, that was nice. I could see doing something in this linen because it wasn't that hard to see. And all linens are different too.
Yes.
Zweigart versus Legacy. This is Kingston linen, which is also different. So there's all sorts of differences in the linen, and you need to see, well, do I like stitching on this? Do I,
Yeah,
what's my
the weave's
favorite?
looser, the weave's tighter. What is it that you like or don't like? Yeah.
And especially if you're stitching a large project like Spring Hill, you want to make sure you like what you're going to stitch on.
That'll
This is
go in
a
that
fit.
old basket.
That's right. It's not going to ever get finished. It's
Yeah.
never going to get finished.
But that's
So.
just a really cool thing that she offers, these kits. So. And then we had somebody ask about when you vary from what is called for, what the designer called for. Like, for instance, Karen in Spring Hill calls for 32 count antique ivory linen, and everything is over two, and then she uses Sullivan's threads. And so two strands, she used two strands over two. 2/2 is how she stitched that. So, okay, that's fine. And but then what if I want to go to a finer linen, or I want a different color of linen, and it's only available in this thread count? Or, for instance, me, I don't want to stitch with two strands. I want to stitch with one strand, so I go right to 40 count. And so then I had a question from a listener. How do I vary from what the designer has called for? And, you know, and there's several things, because the first thing is, how big of a piece of linen do I have? And what do you use for that?
I use Yarn Tree. If you do a Google search and put in cross stitch calculator, Yarn Tree cross stitch calculator comes up, and then you just fill in it has fields for you to fill in. So you put in the stitch count, width and height, and then you put in your, the thread, the linen count. So like I'm using 45 count linen. So I plug that in. And then it suggests that, like, if you're using Aida, that's normally over 1. But if you're using linen, that's normally over 2. And they suggest that you should move that to a 2 instead of leaving 45 count at 1. and then they suggest margins. And they had 4-inch margins. Ooh, all around.
That's generous.
So, right. So, and you do have to think about that. And because if you're going to frame a piece, you need to know, am I going to mat the piece? Am I going to leave linen showing? And you need to leave so much to lace it.
Right.
So I think that's why they did 4 inches. They were leaving room for fabric to show around the piece.
Yeah.
So you can make that larger or smaller. And then you just hit go, and it tells you exactly what size you need.
Yeah, because that's something that freaks people out, especially the first time, is, all right, my design size is 8x10. Well, the standard is 3 inches on each side. So you're adding 6 inches to each dimension. So that becomes 14x16. 8x10 design becomes 14x16 because you need 3 inches of extra on either side. And then, like you said, Beth, if you're going to leave some space, some linen outside the thing within the frame, or mat it, depending on what you're going to do, you might want 4 inches, and maybe you want to give it away with 2 inches. But I would never scrimp. Boy, I would never scrimp the extra little cost it is for another inch all the way around or 2 inches all the way around. It's worth it to have that extra. It really is.
Right. And the only time I really scrimp on doing a project is if I know I am finishing it and I'm finishing it as a pillow. I know I need an inch around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I can get away with that. But again, I know that I'm finishing it and I'm making it into a pillow. I would never take that to my framer with an inch around and say, okay, I need you to frame this. Actually, one time I take that back. I did one time. Someone did a mistake on one of my pieces, and I went to my normal framer. She had been busy, and so I had taken it somewhere else. And I said, "Is there any way you can fix this?" And she was like, "I can't believe they did that to you." And I was like, "I can't believe they did it to me either." And I'm never think I'm going back to them again. But that's the only time I did that.
Yeah,
only time.
But yeah, so you use a calculator like that. There is a math. There's a way to do it mathematically just with a simple calculator. But to describe it in words is more trouble. It's worse. So just go to Yarn Tree, to the calculator there, and do it there. But that, you know, and so then the question is, well, what happens if I change? So Karen had 32 count? Is that what I said? You'd think I'd keep this open so I could refer to it every time, but I close it every time, see, and then I have to reopen it because I have the chart layer right here. So she said 32 counts. So you say, all right, I want to go to 40 count. What happens? Well, it gets smaller. Your stitching area gets smaller.
Right.
And then if you go to 45 count, like with you, Beth, then on your spring heel, then you get a smaller piece yet. So you can determine if you want a smaller piece of a design, go to a higher thread count. But just remember, you're going to be stitching on a higher thread count. You know, there's a price for everything. But you can make just about any design considerably smaller just by going up in thread count on your ground cloth, and you just, you know, it's what you want to do. And then the reverse, be careful how low you go with thread count, because you'll end up with a monster on your hands that maybe you don't want. You get down, you know, 30 threads on the ground cloth, you're going to get a pretty big piece. So,
right. Because this is a big piece as it is. It is a larger design, you know, and so you need to be careful about that.
Yeah.
But
you can do whatever you want. You can, right. You know, you don't have to follow the designer's ground cloth spec. No, you can do it higher count if you want. I go to 40 count. See, I always go to 40 count because I don't want to mess with two strands.
Right.
So I know at 40 count, I'll get nice coverage with most silks, and with DMC, I'll get nice coverage at 40 count, and I only have to deal with one strand. And so to me, that just eliminates a bunch of hassle. And so that's where I go. And higher than that, that becomes a preference. I just don't prefer to. But, you know, for me, if I go lower, and usually around 35, yeah, and this is where you have to test, and this is where those little kits from Kathy come in handy. Usually around 35, if you take DMC as kind of the standard, around 35 is where you have to make a decision whether you like it with two strands or with one strand. That's kind of the breaking point. And below that, it's definitely two strands. In that mid-30s range, you might like it with one, you might like it with two. You just have to decide. Yeah.
Right. And then you have to decide. I don't mind laying my thread. I don't railroad. I've never been able to get railroading to look nice. I end up taking a laying tool, and if I have two threads, I lay those. All my cross stitches. I know my friends would laugh at me at Guild. They'd be like, "What are you doing, Beth?" I'm like, "I'm laying my little X's. Stop laughing." But that's how I could get them to get smooth. And that's one of the reasons I decided to go to a higher count, is I wanted to use the 100/3. I think it's a beautiful thread. It has a lovely feel to it. And I thought, I know it has they have a large range anymore with this in the United States. And I thought it'll be gorgeous. But you also have to remember that this silk is round. It's twisted. The Veriswall, like what you're using, it's not twisted as tightly.
Yeah.
So it looks more, so floss.
Different look.
It just looks different. It's just a different look. So you need to pay attention to that. You might not like how this looks. And that's, again, where this little thread pack, you might say, "Ooh, I really don't like this."
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. You know, there's lots of things to try. And I was just stitching on, and I can never remember which count is which, but I was stitching on a little project, and I'm stitching over one, and it's one of those even weaves. So it's either Monaco or what's the other one? Lugana?
Yes.
It's probably Lugana. And I was thinking, wow, Spring Hill on Lugana would be pretty over one.
Uh-huh.
Because it would make it tiny, but you've got such a nice, you know, again, it's not linen, but the weave is even, right?
Yes.
So it'd be very easy to stitch it over. Well, not easy to stitch it over one, but it would look very interesting stitched over one. But you said there was Algerian eyes. Now, could you do the Algerian eyes then? You might have to substitute something.
Yeah. You'd have to take a look at that. Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to take a look.
And it depended. I don't have the chart. So but again, if you wanted to do that, that would make it, I think it would look beautiful on something like this, if you wanted to make it really tiny.
Yeah. And actually the Algerian eyelet is just in that vine border on the top half. So you could fudge that out. If you didn't want to do eyelets, you could easily stitch that with something, just do cross stitch.
Yeah. Just a little cross stitch, and that would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be easy to do.
Yeah. Right. But again, that's another option too, you know, using the Lugana and a very, an even weave. And I like stitching on Lugana over one. I think it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful fabric to work with. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, that's the thing. And people, two strands. I don't want to lay two strands. Just grab a piece of cloth and do two strands over two and lay the threads. Just do a 1-inch by 1-inch field and lay the threads, and then do another right next to it, another 1-inch by 1-inch field, and don't worry about how the threads lay and tell me it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's worth every bit of that effort when you get done, because you're just my opinion, but your threads, your stitching will just look so much cleaner. The sheen on the threads will come through better. The light will reflect all the little things that really make something stand out, make it worth it to get at least that top cross to lay flat.
Right.
It's worth it.
And it's, right. And especially on that big field of the hill you're going to have, if those threads aren't laying right, it will look. I don't think it'll look as nice as if you laid them. And that's why I moved to a smaller count of.
Yeah.
Linen, because I didn't want to do two.
I don't want to mess with it. I just don't want to mess with it. And that's the only way, I would do two, is to lay them on something like this. And I don't want to do it. I'll use one strand, go to a smaller count. And then I don't care. And then it's just a matter of getting the tension right, and you just go.
And so, I have to admit something. I just recently, within the last, I would say 5 years, started stitching on 40 count linen. I was afraid of it. I thought, oh, 40 count, it's terrible. How can anyone see that? Oh, no. And now it's like, yeah, 40 count, I can do that. I think if you have, I advise people, you know, good lighting. Don't start it when you're tired. Magnification if you need it, and then try it. Just these little samplers. Try it. You might be really surprised on what you can get by using a smaller count linen. Yep. People sometimes are afraid of those things.
Yep. Yeah, no, it really, and your eyes adapt. There's a period when you work on it, you think, oh, this is too small. Then your eyes adapt, and then it becomes fine. It's no problem
right,
at all.
Right,
you know,
right.
And if you wonder about stitching on the higher counts, Jean Lee at the Attic, her favorite is that 5360, I think it is called. It's an uneven weave. I think it's 5360, if I have that right. And she will stitch that in a 4-inch hoop, handheld, with just her, I don't know what magnification they are, reading glasses. And she'll sit there with some light, she has some good light, and just stitch away like it's nothing. So, you know, it's not something to fear. Of course, Jean has decades of experience doing that, but it really is not something to fear, going to a higher count, and you get a better look. See, that's not fair.
Not a better look. You get a different look.
Yeah.
It's a different look. And again, someone was showing where they stitched something, and it was like on, I don't know, those huge count, with it like 10 count. They used six strands, and it was a beautiful piece. I think it just depends on what you're using it for, what you're doing. But if you want to try it, it is fun to stitch on the smaller counts. It gives a different look. It's just a different look.
Yeah.
And
you know, and that's a different look. And I should have never said a better look, because that is not a good use. That is not the proper phrase. It is a different look. And always remember that what you're seeing when you're stitching is not the way you're going to view it.
Right.
You're going to view it from a distance. You know, you're going to drop it on the floor, stand up, drop it on the floor, and that's going to be your viewing distance.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, so keep that in mind too.
Right.
Yeah. It's, yeah. But yeah, and, for, go ahead.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, there's Aida. I know you can get 18 count Aida. I know you can get 16 count Aida. I mean, it'd be big on 14 count.
Right.
Wouldn't it? It'd be pretty big on 14 counts, and she set it on 32. But it's still, except for those Algerian eyes, the Algerian eyelets, you're good to go on it.
Yeah. Yeah, 18 count Aida, it would stitch up very nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. And there's all kinds of colors of Aida. Yeah, oh, that would be, because that, you know, Aida, I prefer linen just because that's the way I am. But Aida has that advantage in that it keeps the X's uniform.
Right.
And that's a, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. Yeah.
And so if that's what you like to stitch on, go for it. So you need to do something for the vine. So just make little X's instead. It'll be fine. It'll be
Yeah.
fine. It'll be beautiful.
Yeah, no, yeah, it'll be, yeah, exactly. Yep. So, yeah, so that's it really is that is the just general guidelines, one strand over two or two strands over two and what thread count, and then a lot of it you just simply have to test. You just have to grab a piece of cloth or do it in the margin and test and decide. So like for instance, you could buy 32 count linen and say, all right, I'm not sure, and do it in DMC, and I'm not sure if I like two strands or one strand. Just do it in the margin. Just test a little bit and see what you like. Yeah, it's but yeah, those kits, that's I'm gonna have to get those because they weren't expensive either. What, $20 you said,
No,
something like that?
$20, $20,
Yeah.
nothing. They were, and especially since you get the needles and a little needle threader,
Yeah.
at least in the, and that's nice too, just to have those.
Yep.
And she gave different sizes and needles to, I mean, maybe I might have had better luck on the smaller count if I'd moved down to that beading needle. But I did. I was too lazy. I put it on the smaller needle for the Swasserveen, and but I didn't want to move to that beading needle.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have had better luck though,
Little
and
thin
because
piece
that's
of
the other
wire.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You do have to pay attention to your needle size,
Yep.
when you're stitching with the.
That's critical. Actually, that, you know, that's it's easily as critical as these other things. It needs to open up that hole so the thread is not getting dragged across the linen all the time. And now, like for instance, I'm doing mine with a Varissois. Now that stuff frays easily. So, and I've, you know, I've done enough of it that I pretty much know, but see, so you use shorter lengths and make sure your needle size is correct. So you're opening the hole and not dragging that thread through, and use shorter lengths and then watch your thread as you're stitching. And after you hit the halfway point of the length that you're stitching, watch it, because if it starts to look frayed, you want to end off, because you'll be able to tell. Because it lo starts to lose some of its sheen, and you'll be able to tell that I stitched with that one, you know, five stitches too long. It starts to look a little ragged, and yeah, you have to keep an eye on that. But you do for anything, you know, you take pearl cotton. To me, you really got to watch that. That.
Because it loses its sheen, and then it's like you look at it and you think, well, why did I just stitch that length? That's got to come out. It just
Yep.
doesn't look fine.
Yeah,
So I'm
'cause
like,
that stuff can look ratty in a hurry. Yeah. Yeah, you got to watch that stuff.
And then the other thing, and you've mentioned this before, is the you could have a defective needle. I was stitching with something, and I'm like, why is this fraying to death? And I think it's my needle is bad.
Yep.
And
Yeah,
I just haven't.
get good needles.
Right.
Don't.
And even if you have a good needle, it
Yeah.
might, it might be old. It might be defective. Just get another one. They're not that big of a price point in comparison to everything else.
Yep.
And especially the amount of time we spent. I just, this is going to be a big piece. It's going to take some time. I'm going to be very careful about setting it up, getting it all set up properly, because I want to make sure I'm doing it right, because it's going to take me a lot of time. So I want to make sure everything, all my everything's lined up, I guess, is the
Great.
properly, you know.
Yep.
And so needles are important, you know.
Yeah, they're your tool. You know, what carpenter would do serious carpentry work without a good saw? You know, what needleworker would do serious needlework without a good needle that doesn't have snags in the eye and snags along the shaft? You know, you want a good smooth needle all the way around so your thread doesn't get damaged. It's worth it. Yeah.
So are you using, you're gonna, you said you're gonna use your your scroll frame.
Right.
And have you heard, is Jennifer doing it in a hoop, or is she doing scroll bars, or do you don't know yet?
I do not know. This size of thing, I would expect she'd do it in scroll bars.
Yeah, I am definitely in scroll bars.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely do scroll bars. Yeah, no doubt. Big piece, cause I like it, a big piece like I like that. You know, I just like to have it all stretched out, and you know,
I just care.
hoop just doesn't work for me.
And I like hoops, even for if it's a something I'm going to carry with me, but this piece is not going to be, it's going to have its own little set place, and that's where it's going to be.
Right,
So I'm
right.
not carrying that long around
Yeah.
anywhere.
Not a travel piece, no. No.
It's a little too big, too many colors.
Yep.
Too many colors for that.
So, to whoever that was that asked, whose name I can't remember now, I hope that answers your question about how to deal with that. But yeah, any chart, any cross stitch chart, even if it's an ornament, all the way up to a full coverage thing, that's up to you how you do it. It's up to you what ground cloth you use, what threads you use, and you don't have to follow what the designer did.
Right.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I'm going to mention, I know we're Karen's colors are gorgeous, but Kathy did say she couldn't get one color in the 103, so she had to switch out something, and I was fine with that. You know, Kathy's got a good eye for color,
Yeah.
but that's one thing, you know, maybe, and I don't have the chart, but maybe there's one color you really don't like in that piece. If you could find something that worked, you know, just do a floss toss on top of your linens and change out that one thing, you know. Don't let, I can't think of a color I don't like in that piece because I just love it. But again, don't let that stop you from working that piece, because I think it's, you know, you could change out one, you know, maybe you want the flowers to be a little darker color. Well, change that out. Don't let that stop you. Just let it go, you know, match it with the other ones, and you should be fine.
Yeah, it was the periwinkle cluster of colors that she was having trouble for me, and but she found other colors that I like actually better, so I was fine with that. But yeah, and that's the thing with your thread ranges too, because you had initially asked about sulky threads, and that thread line does not have enough colors and enough variations within the colors to work. And I had asked her about doing it primarily with NPI silks, and she ended up using two colors in NPI silks, and they had to go to Varissois for all the rest. And that's the reason that for, you know, like reproduction samplers and a lot of things, you find them being spec'd with a Varissois, because it has that line has the color range and the subtle color changes that allow reproduction sampler people to match up to the best that they can, gives them the most flexibility. So what I had hoped would be mostly MPI silks is going to be two MPIs and then all of Varissois, because that's how it, you know, that's how the colors worked out, and nothing you can do about that. Just or you go in and start making some significant changes in color, in the color scheme, if you want to stick with one thread type. So
And that would be hard with Karen's pieces, I would think, because she's got such an eye for color. I could see taking one color and changing it. Maybe like flowers, or maybe you don't like the color of the green vine. You might be able to change that. But you start changing a lot of it, you might end up, I just think you'd have problems. I just think you might have that.
Yeah, you either would then say, all right, I'm going to make this look completely different and just start with a blank slate in terms of the colors. Or yeah, or you end up with kind of a mishmash that may not work. And
And now you in and I would have to do that at a store,
yes.
and I don't have one close to me, so I'm just gonna let Kathy pick my colors.
Yeah, that's one of the real powers of being able to go to a store is you could, get it laid out on a table, put down the piece of linen you're going to use or aida cloth, whatever you're going to use, and then dropping threads on top of that, and you can immediately see what's going to work and not. But that's going in on a weekday and afternoon when they're not busy, and being able to suck up time and space in a store to do that. And or trust Kathy. Just.
And I'm going to tell you right now, Kathy has for years, I had some, Kathy's pulled colors for me. She has great eye for color, great
Yes.
eye for color. So.
Yep. So, all right. So that I hope that helped with all that. And yeah, join us for the stitch along. Now, last week we talked about doing projects, notes and instructions and everything electronically. And I mentioned about that I use GoodNotes, and Notability is another app that works in the Apple iOS operating system. Notability and GoodNotes. I prefer GoodNotes. I think it offers some things that Notability doesn't. So I prefer that, but it did not have one for Android. So I did a little research, and it looks like from what I didn't spend hours, but I did spend some time, that Microsoft's OneNote app will do as much, and in some cases more, than GoodNotes. And that comes in that Office 365 suite, is the OneNote.
And I'll tell you right now that I have not, my husband was playing with that at one point on our home computer, and he was trying to get me excited about it. He's like, "Look, you can do this, and you can clip, and you can drop." And I was like, my eyes were glazing over, like, "Yes, dear, yes, dear." Now I've got to eat humble pie, and goes, "Could you re-show me how to do this?"
Oops.
Oops. Because he was using it for a vacation we were taking a couple years ago to London, where he was dropping information in and into notes and then writing over the brochures, what we wanted to do. He was super excited, and I was like, "Yeah, what can I use this for?" But now I'm like, "Ooh, now I know what I can use it for. I've got to go play with this."
Oops.
Oops, oops. Oh, well, he's a good guy. He'll help me.
Yeah. Well, I would
But
hope
yeah,
so.
so that's a really good one. That one I can recommend OneNote, because I know I've seen what my husband has done with it, and I'm sure would work beautifully for our white work sampler.
Yes. Yes.
And we're starting that one soon too.
That would be the 1st of January. Yes. Yeah. Just do that in your spare time. You'll be fine.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. Don't get all worked up about it. Just say, all right, my spare time, I'm going to do the white work sampler. You'll be fine.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, so one of the things that you do, if you want to learn more about these things, these electronic things, is go to YouTube. What isn't on YouTube? But look up note taking, just note taking, and you could put in, if you're going to use OneNote or if you're going to use GoodNotes, put that in. And there are hundreds and hundreds of videos, and they're all from college students showing how they take notes in class. And just watch a few of those. They're not, most of them are just 15 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. And you'll start to see the power of these apps, in terms of, because these medical students or science students, whatever, they'll have illustrations right in their notes and annotate them. They'll get the slides for a lecture ahead of time and drop them into their notebook for that lecture, And then they'll be able to annotate and write right on them as the lecture is going on. So they aren't sitting there writing 1,000 words a second. Just you really start to see the power of these things. And then as you're watching those, mentally translate that to whatever project you're working on, and you'll start to see what these things can do for you. And some of these kids, their notes are works of art, literal works of art. And I commented to Marga the other day that if we'd had iPad Pros and these apps when we were in school, huge difference maker. Wow.
Right. And I have engineering students, and my son was watching a class, and he had his writing tablet out, and I kind of looked over his shoulder, and I said, what kind of whisper, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm taking notes. He said, he can't hear me. The video's off, Mom. but he was writing the equations as his professor was going over it. And it was just really cool. I can see where this would be so helpful in classes and embroidery classes. In these big ones, this white work sampler that we're doing, to go and say, okay, I need to put more tension in this square. I need, you know, whatever. It'd be just nice to write it on the PDF itself.
Right.
And I think I don't know. I'm just excited about it. I just need to go play with it a little bit.
Yeah. And there's a learning curve. I mean, there's a learning curve with right. all this stuff. But that was the tip I picked up the other day watching a video was one of the students that did it gets the slides from the lecture ahead of time. And I think, mm-hmm. all right, then I need to go get, if you've got several different stitches, then go get the stitch diagrams as images, drop them in, and then you can mm-hmm. mark them up, you know, pull hard here, don't put the needle here, those kinds of things. Right. And it's right there with your instructions and with the diagram. And then you can make notes, you can, you know, highlight a thread. For instance, if you're doing a Jessica stitch, you know, here's where you start weaving underneath to make it come all the way around. All those little things that if you work on it right now and then don't get back to it for a month or so, that you would forget and have to relearn right there, all illustrated for you. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be helpful.
Worth it.
Especially in that white work class.
Yes. Yeah. And the OneNote, the thing about OneNote in that Microsoft suite is anymore, I think, to get, that was the case for me, to get Word, you pretty much have to buy that suite and pay the annual fee or whatever it is.
Right.
Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all those. Well, OneNote's right in there. So it's not like right. you have to buy a separate piece of software. It's just built into that suite. And of course, as OneNote, and since it's part of the suite, fully integrates with everything else in the suite. So, that's pretty straightforward if you have that. And most people have that if they use a computer much at all. You got to have Word just to get by as it is. So,
So
anyway, so that was the deal on that for people who use non-Apple products. OneNote, Microsoft OneNote. And it'll work on Apple products too. If you have that suite, it works because that's what I have as the 365 suite, and I have OneNote, and I could use it on an Apple product too. So it works everywhere. So if you already have that, you probably don't need to get good notes. I just prefer good notes because it's the way I am. Can't help it.
He's an Apple guy.
Yeah, it's the way it is. Yeah. So yeah. How come the hour is already up?
I don't know. That happened fast.
See, we have a list of things.
I know. We haven't gotten down to the rest of it.
And it's an hour already.
Ah. Next time.
Okay.
We'll think of something else to talk about next time.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. All right. We're just going to have to call it there. This is a good breaking point. Anything new would take another half hour. So, Yep. So get that together. We'll post as soon as we know the pricing and a link. We'll make it available so that you can get to Needle in a Haystack and get your Spring Hill kits, whatever one you want, and look for the photos and all the things will be available with starting with this show, and then join us on the first, and then definitely join us Sunday with Jen Goodwin.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
That was oh wow, that was a great show. That was a
Yeah.
lot of fun.
Yep. That was Oh, Arlene Cohen suggested her to me. And I looked at her at Jen Goodwin's stuff. It's like, "Holy smokes. Got to talk to her." And she was enthusiastic. What fun. She was great fun. Yeah. Royal School graduate. Yeah, the whole bit.
And that new book.
Yeah, that's done well. That's really done well. Well, obviously she's highly skilled. If you look at any of her work at Blackwork, highly skilled, and
Yes.
knew what to put in it was the chapter in the back. We talked about it in the chapter in the back where she talked about shading and how to
Yes.
control that. That's the one for me that really stood out because it really demonstrates how and what you can do with black work to create all the shading and the contours and stuff. It's yeah.
And I think, and that's the intimidating part about black work to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But she explained it well in that chapter. She explains it. I felt when I read the chapter, I felt like, oh, okay, I can see this now. Executing it, yeah, we'll see. But yeah. She's a talent. She's good. So don't miss that. All right. Tonight, Cindy Baldwin. We get to look at some more of her stuff. Join us 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Sunday, Jen Goodwin. And then we'll keep you posted and hit Needle in a Haystack, Kathy Ray, for
Yes.
the Spring Hill kits so we can get going.
All right.
Yes.
Have a great.
Let's quit right here.
All right. Have a great day. Get ready.